for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, May the 28th, 1983. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Bill Smith of Fort Worth, Texas, is the teacher of the morning.
Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be here today? Praise the Lord. I tell you, we're having a great time. We're seeing God's people set free. God's bringing us into a new order, into a new dimension in God. That one day that there will be no trace of the enemy within us. Hallelujah to God. I'm looking forward for that day. And I know some people have arrived, but I haven't seen any yet. I've seen some that thought they had, but I don't want none of this think so. I want some know so. Hallelujah to God. Praise the Lord. So we're so grateful for what God is doing in this hour and this day. This has been the greatest day that you and I have come to. And this is mine and your day. And this is the time for you and I to come forth in the place that God has called and destined for us to. Yesterday, some people came to me after this evening service. And they said, Brother Smith, we didn't get all of those G's. And said, we would like to get some of those down. Well, Brother Glenn, I'll just hold up this hand.
I'll write it down here.
Okay. The apostles, now you know that this is the hand of God, the hand ministry. All right, we'll go to the apostles first. Prophets, evangelists. Remember, that's your longest finger on your hand. Pastors and teachers. Okay, then we're going to start over here. Number one, the apostle is the governor of the body of Christ. G-O-V. Governor. Because he is the one that comes in. And as we want to state again, I don't care how many apostles comes into this place. This is Brother Glenn and Sister Irma's pea patch. And if they want this pea patch thrashed, they'll do it themselves. Is that all right? They are the highest authority in this camp meeting and on these grounds. So if there is an apostle that has a word that some way that there needs to be some balance brought in, they will go to Irma and Glenn in private, and no one will know nothing about it except for those three.
Amen.
Now, this is the governor. This is the guard. Guide. To guide the ministry. Because the prophet goes into the presence of the Lord and brings out a message for God's people. Okay, then the evangelist, number three, he gathers. All right, now number four, we have got the pastors. Okay, he is the one that guards. Because, you see, if the wolf comes in, he guards the flock. To keep all of the wolves out of there. Because as we said yesterday, some people are only working for Friday night payday. That's all they're interested in, is how much they can get and steal and con you out of, and then they're on their way. All right, then we come to the last one. And this is the teacher. Remember, this is the smallest finger that goes the deepest in the ear of anyone, and he grounds you in truth. And I think our secretary has got a beautiful handwriting, don't you? Praise the Lord. So now, there we have it. And so, but I would like to say, and we'll go on into the Word. Brother Glenn was talking about this morning about reading into the book of Ruth and Esther. It's two precious books. Did you know that that's the only two books in the Bible that's named after women? The only two. Now, if you remember, Ruth was a Moabitess. She came from the union of a father and daughter relationship. That was her descendants. They had to go through 10 generations before that there was a purification that they could enter in to the land of the kingdom. So, but notice something. They take a trip from Bethlehem, Judea, and to go down into the country of Moab to sojourn. Brother Glenn, I've never seen no presence going from God or hiding from God as Adam and Eve did in the garden has been profitable in any way. I know a lot of people, they take Luke 15 and they talk about the prodigal son. But brother, there were two prodigal sons in Luke 15. There were the one that stayed and the other one that strayed. Come on. Neither one of them was partakers of their inheritance. The other one took his and spent it, and the other one had his and did nothing with it.
Hallelujah.
One strayed, the other one stayed. Now back to this little Moabite. She goes and she receives the word from Naomi. And after all, folks, you remember we didn't used to be on Silk Stocking Road. We used to be across the track. Hello there. And we used to be down into the lower grade of the part of town. But brother, God has brought the Holy Spirit up on Main Street now. And this is what God is doing today. All right, Ruth, the little Moabitess, she didn't get to go in with the reapers. Brother Glenn, I've never liked second pickings or third pickings or leftovers. If you please, do you know what the prodigal son, as you term him, he was down and spent his life in riotous living? His substance soon run out. He wound up in the hog pen, didn't he? You know what he was doing? He was eating slop where it was yesterday's leftovers. That's all some people get to eat today. But there's a fresh grinding off the millstone of our God today. Now, this woman, Ruth, she had to go behind the reapers. Chapter 2. She didn't get first picking, but brother, there were those things that she knocked off and they fell on the ground, as it were. The Bible says that she picked up from behind the reapers and her half was a little bit light on her side. But you know what she did? And this is what this remnant of this church that God's bringing out, the call out of the call out today. I want you to know she reached down there and she dusted them off. And it was the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. That ministry. Because, brother, it was never known until of 1949 in most places. And that's what is the only thing that's going to bring perfection to the church. But, brother, she dusted it off and began to bring forth that revelation in this end time to bring you and I into order that we would be established in God. Now, I want us to turn into our Bibles this morning, into an area that God has laid on my heart this morning since we've gotten out of bed, and we want to deal with some of this morning as the Lord leads us to do so. Because there were some other areas that I was going to go into this morning, but I felt the Lord to quicken me into this direction. You realize this morning in every local body, every local church, that there are different levels in the church. You see, Jesus had 12 apostles unto the Lamb. But there were 3 of that 12 that walked in the inner circle with the Lord Jesus himself. The other 9, they loved Jesus. And Jesus made no difference between those 12. But you see, there is a place that you can get so close to God that God himself will share things with you that he won't share with others. Now, the slave only gets to go into the kitchen area. But brother, you and I that are friends with God, we get to go into the parlor with him. And the slave only gets to serve, but you and I, we are partakers. And God is wanting to bring you and I into this union with him. That we walk in the inner circle with the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Glenn was dealing with a young brother this morning concerning some things that God had set him free and he had dabbled in it again. Appreciate Brother Worley talking about the horoscope and all of these things. Brother, we haven't been called to dabble in things. If we've been set free from it, Brother Lust don't dabble with it, and we've been set free, we're free indeed. And so This is where that we want to deal with this morning. Turn with me in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. And let's look into the Word of the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Brother and sister, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot, not one tittle of God's Word will pass away, but it will all be fulfilled. Now, do you realize that there is a difference between being begotten of God and being born of God? I don't know about you, but some 20 years ago, it was very difficult for me to handle 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away, and therefore all things become new. But brother and sister, when you and I repent of our sins, we know Jesus as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins, but we don't know Him as the way of an enchristed life. Potentially, yes. Reality, no. Because we must go on to follow on to know the Lord. So you see, there is a walk that you and I have to walk out in this earth. Now, I know that 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I've given you no answer there. But then let's pick up the next verse, which is verse 7. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. So you see, there is a progress, there is a development. Salvation is progressively. We are saved, being saved, and going to be saved. Brother, when you see these people being delivered, brother, they are being saved. They are coming into body redemption with God. And that's what God is doing for you and I today.
Right. Amen.
Now, you said that, Brother Smith, I accepted Jesus. He's my Savior. You know, when I saw Brother Worley, and I saw this other brother that was sitting here with us last night, I believe he came driving with a big overhead camper. I looked at Brother Glenn and I said, I'm sure glad he's on our side. Because, brother, they are big. I thought everything was bigger and better in Texas, but, brother, we don't got many that big in Texas. Oh, he is a Texan. Well, okay. Now, you see, I got Brother Worley on my side, and I don't know the other brother's name, but he's on my side too. So, we're real tough. So, we're going to go down in Hot Springs, and they're the toughest, and so they're going to go in there, and they're going to hold the owners. And I'm going to go in there and I'm going to break all the booze and all the joints. I'm going to get rid of it. Did you know that that won't do it? I want you to know, Brother Glenn, there is a factory somewhere in Arkansas or wherever the distributor is, Brother Glenn, that's making it around the clock. What are you saying, Brother Smith? Brother, you're going to have to deal with the individual that's making that, and you're looking at him here today. We can deal with our past sins, but brother, there are sins in mine in your life that we are in process of being born of God. Born of the Word of God, the incorruptible seed that liveth and abideth forever. Now, turn with me over into the book of James. And let's look at a scripture. Verse 15, chapter 1. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Did you know that even year after year, science says that our life has even been prolonged? Last year, wasn't it, they said in 1983 now, that the year expands already been 2.5 years. I don't know how to figure that out, but that's what I heard on the news just before I came down here. But I am here to tell you and I this morning that there are two strong forces that guide mine in your life. It's either our heredity that Brother Winworthy has been dealing with or our environment. The two things that the very strong forces of mine in your life. Heredity and environment. Now, brother and sister, when we are born of God, we are dealing with the heredity problem. We are getting all of those sins dealt with until we're coming into the union with God. Then, now I want to say something to us today. We can come to a place in God with our children. There was a precious lady last night that Glenn and I was ministering and praying for a baby. Right over there, sitting there on front where we were sitting. She said that she couldn't have no children, and so she went and adopted one. And, of course, I could always go. And then they had one of their own. For 8 years, they've been wanting a child. But, brother, I am here to tell us today, if we have the right environment, I want you to know that you and I can go and we can adopt a prostitute's daughter off from the street, and we can raise that child in the right environment with God, and brother, that heredity problem can be dealt with until you'll not know that its mother was ever a prostitute, because we have changed the environment and we have brought it in the environment of God, and so therefore it can be changed because that is a force of life. Now, did you know that there is a place of environment that science is saying today, if the environment was right, no pollution and so on, that man could live forever. And brother and sister, whether you believe it or not, there are sins in mine in your lives. But there is a place that you and I are coming into that we are born of God, because where there is no sin, there is no death. Now when sin is finished, what does it bring forth? Death. So now we are coming to an area that we're being completely born of God, that we have been restored and raised up out of what we were and born of God, and where there is no sin. So you see, then there's a vast difference between knowing Jesus as the Lamb of God that bears away the sins of the world and to know Him as the enchristed life, the inworking of His Spirit. One time I was in a seminar with Bob Mumford in Irving, Texas. Bob Mumford was asking a question. He said, how come that there is all of these problems of people going off in error and so on? And how come that there are people, they start out and then they wind up in the pitfalls? And how come that they have such loose living and so on within their lives? I said to Brother Bob Mumford, and he said, I want you to answer my question. I raised my hand, and Bob said, Bill, what? And I said, because of not an inward work that's done within our life. Brother and sister, this morning, transformation is not formation. Just because that you and I have been saved, you and I are in the process now of being conformed into the image of our God. We're in the process now of being born and birthed into the Spirit of God. That one day there will be no evidence of no sin in mine and your life. Hallelujah. And that's why that there are deliverance services for us every day. Because, listen folks, God is working. You said, Brother Smith, I've been a Christian 40 years. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad that you have. But have you been walking in the Spirit in these years? Brother, this is where God is bringing us into today. Now, I want you to turn with me into 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8 and 9. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for this seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, brother and sister, this is the work that God is working within our lives today. I heard Brother Worley saying something last night. He said, I'm pretty nigh perfect. And he was laughing. But brother and sister, there is a day coming if you and I will continue to walk with God, walk in the Spirit and be obedient to God and allow God to deliver, set us free. And you and I know that wise old serpent that goes about seeking to kill, to destroy. And on you and I, we will come into the level and the dimension of God that we will attain to the perfection in Him.
Amen. Amen.
We will
Amen.
Attain that. You said that, Brother Smith? How? The Bible says in Psalm 138, verse 8, says He will perfect that which concerneth me. Philippians 1 and 6 says this, being confident of this one thing, he that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, brother, this is the process that we're coming into now that we're being born of the Spirit of God. You said, Brother Smith, will there always need a deliverer? Oh, definitely so. But I want to tell you something. God wants to raise you and I up until we don't need no more deliverance in us, that we can deliver a growing and travailing creation out there that God's going to send within our midst. Because, brother, we're coming into a never-ending day of the Lord when the gates of this place will not be closed day or night, and there'll be deliverance going on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and, brother, there's no one minister that's going to be able to do it. So there's going to have to be people raised up in every structure of the church today that's going to be able to stand in and deliver people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that's why that there's a training and the teaching that's going on today. But brother and sister, I believe that it's time for you and I to come forth in the very image of God. Now, Brother Worley said last night, said you're not going to get it all at one time. I said to us yesterday, I said, God could pull us through that keyhole and that door out there if you and I can stand the pull. Now, brother and sister, you can't be stand and you can't cope with being set free at all at one time because you couldn't stand the pressures. If you could take it, God can do it. But brother and sister, God is going to bring us into. Now look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. The church at Galatia. Paul had been there. Paul established the church. Paul had been there many times, but Paul comes back crying this. Paul said, I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Now, brother and sister, there is a continual work that's taking place in mine and your life. Now, we're living in a place that's just like last year, Stephen. I was inquiring with Patty and some more. I said, who's going to minister this afternoon? And they said, we don't know. So then I said, Patty said to me, she said, I don't think that you would have to minister because they would have already told you. I said, sometimes, I said, I'm better than instant. You don't even have to pour water. Just say, preach. But brother, we're living in an hour when there is a blabbit and grabbit contest going on. But brother, there's more to it than blabbing it and grabbing it. And brother, I believe in confessing and I believe in walking it out. Now brother and sister, the Bible says if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and it'll obey you, it'll do that. But brother, there is time that you and I literally have to walk it out before it becomes ours. God told Joshua, the last time he looked at Moses, Moses didn't have a wrinkle. He wasn't wearing no glasses, and his eyes had never dimmed, and looked like he was going to live forever. So God went up into the mountain, and he just loved Moses to death, and then buried him. Come back down there, and he says, Moses, or Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Oh, the last time I saw him, he was doing fine. Brother, he hadn't aged a day. But he said, now you arise, and you go over this Jordan, and every place that you put shoe leather upon is yours. God told Noah to walk before him and be perfect. God told Abraham to walk before him and be perfect. And so this is why that you and I are walking this out today. Because day after day, God's Word is cleansing you and I, delivering us and setting us free, that one day there'll not be a spot, blemish, or wrinkle left upon you and I, that we'll look into the mirror of the Word of God and we'll see no defect. Today, the more I look into the Word of God, is the more I find out that I don't know nothing. Brother and sister, but God is bringing us into this matter. I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Now, turn with me back into the book of James again, and let's look at a word. Oh, praise the Lord. James chapter 1, verse 21. Is there anybody here that ever grafted fruit trees or grafted any trees? I see some that raised their hand that they've grafted trees. Now notice something here. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness, superfluity, naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye a doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, brother and sister in Mexico, I don't know why sometimes, I just have to be on me. We'll take a bunch of greenhorns down there that's never been in the mission field before, and sometimes they just know everything. They know more about the mission field than I do, and I've been working down there for between 15 and 17 years. We'll go down there, Brother Glenn, and there's those big, luscious oranges, and brother, you've never seen no gall as bitter as they are. And oh, they'll grab them, they say, they look so pretty, and boy, they go through all the pains and peeling that orange, and then when they take a bite, brother, they'll go to their knees. And I'm laughing all the time inside because, you see, I already know what that is. But you know what? There's a man called Memo, which is a nickname for Bill in Spanish. He is a grafter. And, brother, he went into the orchard there that we have in Mexico at our children's home. And he went in and he grafted the sweet oranges into that trunk of that tree. And one day we're going to cut off all of that part that brings forth the bitter oranges. And it's going to bring forth the sweet oranges. Brother and sister, this is what the engrafted word that's taking hold in mind in your life. That one day this old trunk of Bill Smith will be no more. And it will be the word of God that's engrafted and took hold in my life. And bringing forth fruit after the word of God, the incorruptible seed that liveth and abideth forever. The Bible says in Romans chapter 11, said that the wild olive branch, speaking of the Jewish, the olive branch was broken off, speaking of the Jewish nation, and then the wild olive branch was grafted in, speaking of a Gentile nation. Now, if you please, we look all through the Bible, as Brother Worley has been talking to us, and how that those different men, Abraham, he had two wives. We go on down and we see Jacob, he had two wives. Of course, he worked 14 years to get both of them, and then he got his wages changed 20 times and 10 times and so on. But then we come to his son, Joseph. Joseph, which was a type of Christ, Joseph only had one bride, is this correct? Jesus Christ has got only one bride, and brother, that is his church. All right, and do you know what Joseph's wife was? She was a Gentile bride. And Acts says he's going to bring him a bride out of the Gentile nation. And John chapter 1 verse 11 said he came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him gave him power to become the sons of God. Now, brother and sister, this is why that we must have, let the word have free course in our life, that the engrafted word to have its being within you and I, that it will bring forth seed in you and I after the word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, the engrafted word. Now, of course, I know that you're in the same boat that I'm in. I'm not planning on jumping out. I'm going to stay in there until I get it fixed up. But I want to say something to us today. Sometimes I still have good days and I still have bad days. Sometimes I get up and... How many have heard the terminology, they slept on the wrong side of the bed?
Yeah.
I've heard that terminology. I've got up and my wife, who has walked with me, and she was like Brother Worley, she was a runt Baptist. I mean, it's Baptist all the way, but God will forgive you for being a Baptist. He'll forgive you for being Pentecost. Pentecost is only 50 days, brother, and that's number 50, and that's halfway. I'm not starting as Ephraim did, a cake unturned. Ephraim was half done, cooked on one side. Brother, I'm headed for the hundredfold, that, brother, I'm going to be cooked through and through. Hallelujah to God. So I'll get up, and my wife will say something. First thing I know, I'll cut her off real sharp. The closest thing to me, and yet jump on her. Of course, men, you don't do that, do you? Come on, holy righteousness. Come on, holy righteousness. Oh, wives, you don't never do that? I'm sorry, but you do. I'm in the boat with you. But brother and sister, we're coming to the place in God that every day is going to be the same. When we rise up of a morning, we're going to bless the Lord. And as David said, we're going to set the Lord before us. Now, I know that many people have got into this race. And it's just like the little story about the boy that got into bed. Then the man's father said to the son, said, Father, what was that I heard last night? And he said, Daddy, he said, I got into bed, and in my sleep, I fell off the bed into the floor. So then father said to son, said, how come you to fall off in the floor? He says, Daddy, I guess I stayed in too close to where I got in. Did you get the message? Stayed in too close to where they got in. Brother, there is a going on in God. And there is a growing up in God. That you and I put on the likeness and the image of God here in this nasty now and now in this earth that we're living in. And this is what God is working in our lives today. He that is born of God cannot sin, because that seed remaineth within him. Now, I find myself, after preaching the word now for 21 years, I don't know nothing about in my Christian experience of not being filled with the Spirit of God. Because the night that I was saved, I was filled with the Spirit. I do not know what time it was in the morning, but I said, God, I'm staying here until you fix me up. I had been so rotten, no account, useless for anything. And brother, I was sick and tired of that life that I was living. I raced boats all over the state of Arkansas. I went into a Kenner Boat Company down, I think it's around Black Rock, Arkansas. I bought me a racing boat in Kenner Boat Company. Some of you folks might even know where it is. I raced that boat. I did everything that was possible. I went into every skiing tournament that there was. I skied and I was in all those tournaments, and I took home most of the trophies and all of that. But brother and sister, I want you to know in all of that, I was still hunting and reaching out for reality.
Right.
Reaching out for reality. And brother, I love that boat rig of mine, because I could go to James Propeller Service in Dallas, Texas. I could go over and I say, James, if you'll just put me another quarter inch hook in that prop, I believe I can get it on top of the water quicker. If you'll just give me another little hook in that prop. Because brother, I was not going to be outdone. And many times they would say that my boat was sinking, near thy God to thee, because I'd get it airborne in top of the water. All the time I was reaching out for something in God. I was tired of the church system. I was tired of what was going on in the Lord. But brother, I was wanting reality. And one day, brother, I met reality. And it's been my purpose from that day on to grow up in the likeness and the image of our God.
Amen.
To be a full overcomer. So then I still had this boat. I'd go out there One time I counted, I had 14 coats of wax on the bottom of that boat so it'd skim that water. And I'd polish that boat, and I'd polish that boat. And I'd look at that boat. Shelly, she'd go out there and get in that boat. She'd grab that steering wheel. She'd whoop that motor from one side to the other side. Boy, she was a-driving it. So one day, God told me, said, set it. Get rid of it. Said, you don't have no time for no more boating. Brother, you put your time into the Word of God. Brother, I first thing I did, I put an ad in the paper. I written for a boat rig for sale. Racing rig, can be converted, skin rig, whatever. And I got rid of that. He said, Brother Smith, why? Because I had no more time to be devoted unto that boat. Because my time had to be devoted unto God. So what was such a prized possession unto me had become worthless because it had no more value to me. But brother, today there is nothing else of any value to me today except to see this Word of God, Brother Glenn, being made flesh within these earthen vessels of mine and yours. No wonder that Glenn has been talking about the Gideon's army over there. Give him a picture and give him a torch. Brother and sister, you've got this torch in your body, but many of you have never broke the pitcher that the torch can shine and come forth. But the whole thing is to break the vessel that God can shine forth within you. Now, he that is born of God does not commit sin. Now, as I started to say, not knowing anything else except being filled with the Spirit. Because, of course, my wife told me every day, she said, you're getting off into something. Pastor came to me one time, he said, son, you're getting off in the deep end. I looked at him and I said, but Pastor, I love you and I praise you so much for what God's done for you. I submit to you. But Pastor, I read in the wee hours this morning that my Bible said of His kingdom, there is no end. And so if there is no end to His kingdom, how can I get off from the deep end? As far as if I'm being led by the Spirit of God, brother, I'll not get off into the deep end. Brother, because the Bible said in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But all brothers and sisters this morning, that engrafted word taking hold of mine in your life, that God's getting rid of all of this old bitter tree, and that fountain of that sweet water that God is putting within you and I think of the woman that day, and you know, Brother Kelly Varner, he was raised up under a bunch of us brothers' ministry, Brother G.C. McCurry, Jack Harris, C.S. Fowler, and myself. We found Brother Kelly Varner in a little place in Grantsville, Maryland. We were preaching in West Virginia, and he came over there, and we began to talk to him. And I preached on the woman at the well, and I preached on Jonathan, how that Jonathan, he loved the great new order. He loved the move of God, but he constantly was going back to Saul's house, back to old order. And brother and sister, you can't continue to go back and mix this new with the old, because brother, that old wine skin has stretched as far as it's going to stretch. It can't take no more because it'll burst that bottle. But brother, this new wine that God's bringing forth, it's got to come forth in a new creation. It's got to be put into a new bottle, and then both will be served. So I was ministering there, the woman at the well. She had five husbands. The one that she was living with was not her husband. And brother, none of those six men had done anything for her. It hadn't did anything that would satisfy her whatsoever. But Brother Glenn, there that day on the well, who was Jesus, who was God manifested in the flesh, the Bible said he was weary with his journey. And brother, he met the seventh man. And brother and sister, today, I want to bring you in contact with the seventh man, that you'll come into that formation of the Christ in your very life. And when she met that seventh man, the Bible says that she took those water pitchers and she went to that well. But brother, at that well, when she met that seventh man, those water pitchers, they become obsolete. And she left there with a river flowing out of her innermost being. And brother and sister, today, if you brought your cup to get it filled, you brought your pitcher to get it filled, brother, God wants you to leave from this place a river of life flowing out to humanity. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You better shout now. It's not going to get no better. Hallelujah. Obsolete. Brothers, while we're dealing with this right here, there was one day, there was Simeon and Anna that was born under law, and they were sent to the temple, the Bible tells you and I. All right, in here, it's Simeon, he begins to prophesy to Jesus' mother Mary, tells her how that a sword is going to pierce her heart, how that she's going to go through all of these places. But brother, one day, Simeon, the Bible said that he was led there by the Holy Ghost, and that he was not going to die until he seen the consolation of Israel. He was not going to die until he had helped the Lord Christ. And brother, that day, I want you to know there was Simeon and Anna that were walking before God. But brother, they had a word from God. But brother, there was Simeon and Anna, they were dying off. But brother Glenn, there was a brand new birth that was being birthed forth, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. There was one order that was passing away, but there was a new order being birthed forth. The same thing is taking place in mine and your life today. Yes, but all this morning, if you'll come to the realization that you'll allow Christ to be formed in your life. If you'll come to the realization that you'll allow Christ to be formed in your life. Now, day after day, I wake up during the night. Last night, back there in my little motel room. Thank God that for this place. Prepared as a beautiful place of rest. Beautiful people come from every direction to hear the word of the Lord. I woke up in the night, Sister Penny. I was crying out to God. Oh, that I might know Him. You said, Brother Smith, I've been knowing for 20 years. Brother, don't you stall out in nothing. You know something? I hate to drive any car that's had power steering and the belt's broke or the power steering pump's messed up and it don't work. It's hard to move anything that's stalled out. So don't stall out, folks. We've got to move on in God. And we've got to see Christ formed in my and your life. And I was crying out, oh God, that I might know Him. That I might not know Him after all of these years with God. Brother and sister, this gets sweeter as the days go by. Hallelujah to God. And I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Hallelujah. All right?
Amen.
Then let's notice again, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Let's see what this great writer, apostle, did I say 8 or 18? Verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forevermore. Now, just because that you've been saved, filled with the Spirit in everything. Brother, there's no sign that you have arrived. You haven't arrived. The Bible said that David was king for 40 years. He was when Saul miserably failed God. The Bible says that God told Samuel to quit weeping over Saul. Fill that horn with oil and you go down to Jesse's house. Now, Jesse had 8 sons. 8 is the number of new beginnings. Brother and sister, there's a great significance right here. Here is all of these sons, they stand up there, and here is Samuel walking before them. He looked at old Eli and he said, man, he looks like he should be a king. God said, wait a minute, Samuel. You're looking on the outward appearance and God looketh on the heart. All of those sons passed before him. There was no king. So then Samuel said, you got another son? He said, yeah, we got a little stripling down there. I can remember when I wanted to become a man. And I would want to shave, Glenn, and all I had to first, what they say in Oklahoma, is little old peach fuzz. Said he was a little old ruddy, he had a little old peach fuzz on his face. He's 17 years of age. Brought him up there. And that said, Samuel said, that's him. He took that horn of oil and poured it upon Samuel. Upon David. All right. Then we look and David was anointed for 6 years and 7 months over Judah. Then the Bible said that there was another horn of oil that was put upon David at that time when he was anointed as king over Judah. Then, brother, there was a day come, you see, when you get saved, there's a little vial of oil that's put upon you. Then when you get in the infilling of the Holy Ghost, then there's a greater vial of oil that's poured upon you. But then, brother, there's another anointing that's coming. And, brother, one day that the whole land of Israel, I want you to know that it was declared that David is king over all of the land of Israel. Brother Glenn, there was another vial of oil that was poured upon David at that time. The three anointings that was given unto David. And what was that anointing for? David was anointed as the king. He was anointed for the kingdom. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, that a man after Jesse's son, a man after God's own heart, that would fulfill all of his will. But now growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, folks, there is deliverance for you until you come into the very image of God, until there is nothing left within you that will be kin to sin, because the enemy had to leave Jesus that day and said, I find nothing within him. What was he saying? I don't find anything in him that's kin to me. What has the brethren been saying? Anything that you leave there for a launching pad is what the enemy uses. But brother and sister, we're coming to that place in God that we're going to walk in this deliverance. All right? Then, let's turn with me back into Paul's writing. Over into the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 27. And let's see what this great apostle is saying. Now, to whom God would make known. Did you know that everybody's not going to receive this? Says to whom that God would make known. He's going to make known to those who will receive it. What is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, at the condition where we're at now, sometimes you see Christ, sometimes you just see Bill Smith. Do you see my handkerchief? All right, I want to show you something. You see, that's in my hand. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. And this is where we're come at now. Because transformation is not formation. And because that you have a revelation of something is no sign that you have entered into it. Brother, you're going to have to walk that revelation out before you're going to enter into the fullness of it. So now we see Christ in us, the hope of glory. But now there is a growth and development. Turn with me over into the third chapter of the book of Colossians. Now, if you got Christ in you, the hope of glory, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on Christ, not on things of the earth. Now notice something. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now you saw my handkerchief that way, but now I want to show you it again. Brother, when your life is hid with Christ and in God, you see all of my handkerchief, which I'm showing you that is covered in my hand. And brother, this is the confirmation, and this is the formation that God is bringing us into, that our life is hid with Christ and in God. Amen. So that God can take over all of man in your life, that we can be born of God, and brother, where there is no sin, there will be no death. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. So now, brother and sister, I send you the hope of glory. It's one phase of glory. But then when you come to the place in total submission, total commitment unto God, brother, you're coming to the place where that your life is hid with Christ and in God. How do you come in total commitment and total surrender? Now, every time I talk about this prison, I was ministering in Mexico, and there was a prison guard that came to one of our meetings, and he said, there's people that's down there that's going to be hung. and said, is it possible that you could come to the prison and have a service? And I said, yes, we would be glad to. It would have to be in an afternoon, but we would be glad. All right? We went to Hinkle Pinkle Prison in Mexico. All right? I went down there, and I guess they must have thought out of all of our group, I must have been the only crook in the crowd. So I walked in there because they seen that I was the driver. I had my car keys, or my pickup keys. So the first thing that they did, brother, they told me to lift up my hands, and they searched me. And brother, when they were searching me, I didn't go around and tell them, now look, put your hand out of my pocket. Brother, I was committed unto him. I made a surrender to him. But many of us today, we've got areas we say, Lord, I am not surrendering to you. And brother, that is going to be a thorn in your side. That's going to be a launching pad that the enemy is going to use to work on you with. But brother, coming in total commitment, total surrender, I want you to know that God can take over your life. And brother, when he got through searching me, he took my billfold, my car keys, a little pocket knife. He took everything that I had in my pockets, and then he put it in a little old bitty thing and kept it. I went out there in that jail, in that prison there. Some of those men looked as if to me, I'd just love to get a hold of you. I'd love to cut your heart out with a machete. But brother, I saw old gray-headed men that were going to be hung just in a few days come and fell on their knees before us and wept their way puddles of tears on the dirt on that prison ground. Because, see, it was just in a little commune deal. And they had little adobe sails that they went off on each side. But you met out in this commune there. And we were out in the dirt floor. They wept their way to Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And I want to tell you something. That's wonderful and that's great. And we thank God because heaven will be real for them. And the heaven will be their home. But brother and sister, I want to tell you something. There's farther more than just having a fire escape. Brother, there's more to it. There's you and I could come to the place that we become this army that we've sang so much about. Brother, there's more than doing it than saying it. Come on. And so God is raising up this army of deliverers today in the hour in which we now live. Now, Christ in us the hope of glory. Then we are dead with Christ. Our life is hid with God and in Christ. All right? Now, let's notice again. In 2 Thessalonians, let's look here as this great apostle wrote to us here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. And now I want to say to us now, I don't know how some of you stand in this dimension. There is a doctrine that is going around today that we'll never see Christ again. The only Christ we're going to see is in his saints in the earth. Now, that's true, but it's the same thing that people talking about a rapture. I want you to know I've been in rapture since I've been on this platform this morning.
Glory. Amen.
I've been in rapture since I've been up here this morning. I've been caught up in him since I've been up here this morning. But I want to tell you something, folks. Christ is appearing in his saints today. But I'm just old-fashioned enough that I still believe that he's going to split that eastern sky. Because I'm going to show you something. When we see the Ark of the Covenant, because I believe I can show you a parallel. My wife, she says to me so many times, she says, honey, why do you just preach the whole Bible every time? I see the Ark of the Covenant, the Philistines just captured it. They take it into there where their Dagon is, and he winds up falling on the floor and breaks off the palms of his hand. What is that a sign of? There is no ministry. He can't do anything. He has no hands to do nothing with. All right, then they set him back up. He falls over and he breaks his head off. And then there's no knowledge. So then they say, we got to get rid of him. We got to get rid of that Ark of the Covenant. Look what it's done to our God. But now the Philistines had captured and got the Ark. But brother, that was only a shadow. Because I'm here to tell you today that the substance was still in the bosom of the Father. He was still in the bosom of the eternal God. But, brother, the shadow was in the earth, but the substance still remained the same. And, brother, today the Christ that's in you and I today is the same Christ that's seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm making intercession for you and I today. So let's don't try to go off in no tangent and try to get off in left field. Let's walk with God and let's take the book and rightly divide the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now, what does he say here in verse 10? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all of them that believe. Now, brothers and sisters, today, there is a vast difference between just a believer accepting Jesus as the Lamb of God to take away your sins and coming to a place in total commitment unto God that you'll see Christ glorified within you. He's going to be glorified in the saints and admired in the believer. Now, I hear people talking about laity. Folks, we're going to have to get our terms right. There is no word laity in the Bible. It says saints. But I'm also here to tell you this morning that every Tom, Dick, and Jerry is not no saint. Brother, it's those that have been called. And brother, there is a long way, Brother Glenn, between chosen and called. Brother, there are many called and few that are chosen. And brother, there's a long gap between those two areas. And today you and I are making our calling and our election sure. We're doing this today. We are determining the order that we're going to be in God. So now, it's going to be admired in the believers, but glorified in the saints. Now, there's many times, Brother Glenn came up to me yesterday morning, and God's going to have to get Glenn to start resting some more because Glenn just can't do it all. I know you got lots of precious help, and I appreciate it. Because, see, as pastor, I observe. Because if you got something that's working good for you, you might come to my place and you might see me using it. Come on. All right? Brother Glenn came to me and was telling me about a condition. And I could feel the very glorification of our God ministering unto Brother Glenn. Brother Glenn told me this morning, he says, I feel fine. I feel fine. Brother, I'm saying that many times as I'm going down the road and tired. And I say, God, if you're passing out any immortality today, Lord, give me a dose of it. I need it. I'm tired in this old physical body. Give me a charge of your spirit. If you're passing out any immortality today, give me a shot. I need it. Brother and sister, I want you to know there's many times that I've said, well, Lord, I've been so tired in those areas because of going day and night so many hours and preaching so many services. Because, brother, I want you to know I don't play around. I preach. Amen. Hallelujah. One lady, she said to me, she said, brother, you preach like you cutting wood. And I want to say to us, brother, God is restoring us today. And if you think that you're going to get it all in one shot, you're going to have to be changed from glory to glory until you come into His likeness and to His image. You're not going to get it all at one time. You can't stand the change at one time, the full change. So you're going to have to take it line upon line, here a little, there a little, line upon precept, precept upon precept. All right? Now, let's notice again with 1 Corinthians now, chapter 6 and verse 28, verse 2 and 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Or 2 and 3. I'll get it right here in a minute. All right. Do you not know that the saint shall judge the world? Have you got your scripture? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Do you not know that the saint shall judge the world? Now, brother, every level that's in the church is not going to judge the world. Because, listen. And please hear me straight. If you need deliverance, you need help. And if you need it every time that you come, you still need help. But brother, if every time that you and I come that we need deliverance for the same thing, there is a sickness in our inward man. And we're going to have to get him dealt with and healed that there will be none of these things cropping up again. You see, if we're always shedding off the little fruit as it starts putting on, brother, there will never be a harvest. If we shed off the untimely figs, as Revelation tells us, there will never be a harvest. All the time coming in, but never learning the knowledge of God. So we can see the little fruit coming onto the tree. But then, if there's always something coming up that's causing to shed the fruit off, then there will be no harvest. And brother and sister, God is looking for fruit now. None of us are judges, but He's looking for fruit. Now, how are we going to judge? Because we're looking for fruit. We're fruit inspectors. All right? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? By you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertaineth to this life? Now, brother and sister, God is raising up people that's going to be able to discern. Jeremiah says, when we have learned to separate the precious from the vile, and then our mouth becomes as the mouth of God. Now, that's what Jeremiah says. All right? Now, judge the world. Now, what does he say? Glorify in the saints. Brother, there is a place that's coming in your life that I want you to know that you don't fool God's people all the time. Brother, they've got their radar out and they can look through your very being and they can tell you just what's making you click. And this is what God is doing today. Raising up people that Jesus Christ is being glorified in. That they're going to judge the world. All right? Now let's go on a little further. Turn with me. You said that, Brother Smith, there sure is a lot of heartaches. There's a lot of pressures, a lot of pain. Turn with me into John chapter 16. And let's look at a word here. John chapter 16 and verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. I looked up there this morning, and old Brother Jay's belt buckle there had joy on it. If I read that right. Or is it Jay or Joy? Jay? Joy? Brother and sister, I want you to know, as I said to us the other day, sometimes I've got off and I've had myself a little pity party because I've seen so many people that didn't see and that was running after what I'm running after in our own church. I have elders that tell me, said, Brother Smith, I want you to know when I get back home, I'm going to be one that's going to stand by your side. I'm going to be one that's going to help carry greater loads in the church and the responsibility. Brother, they are ready to run through a troop and leap over a wall when they're in the anointing. And somebody was, Brother Jay said this morning, talking about the anointing. If you please, let's just go a little further on this limb. There is a day coming when you will no longer just minister from the anointing realm, but you will be ministering from the presence of God. There is a difference between the anointing and the presence. Because you and I can still make mistakes as anointed flesh, but when we're walking in the presence of God, there's going to be fewer mistakes being made. All right? And then when these brothers get home, they cool down from going back to work, facing opposition, and they cool down. And they act like that the troop run over them and the wall fell in on them. Come on. Brother, there is so many things. So sometimes I get off to myself, and I say, seems like that nobody wants to carry this load in the manner that I'm going to force our weight and stretch ourselves to attain to these levels in God. And then I'll begin to think of the things that we have to go through. Because I want to tell you something, folks. Many times, did you know that water will flow in the least resistance? If there's a peak right here, brother, it'll go around that peak. But you and I, we don't pick out the easiest things for you and I. We go by the will of God for our lives. Brother, if the will of God says go over the mountain, that's where we go. We don't go around. Brother, I want you to know there's too many people that's going around the same mountain they've been going around for 40 years, and it's time to go through the mountain or go over it.
Amen. Glory.
It's time for us to grow up. You said, but Brother Smith, there's sorrow. Sure there is. But brother, I want you to know, I can just get still in my study at home. All of a sudden, I can just feel the angels of the Lord. I can remember as Satan left Jesus that day. The Bible said that the heaven had been closed up for 400 years of the dark ages there. And the Bible says the first thing in the heavens were opened. The angels ministered unto him. Brother, I want you to know as I get into that study, behind those doors many times, I can feel the angels of the Lord are ministering unto me, are preparing me for another meeting, preparing me for another trip, preparing me for another message. And all of a sudden, I'll find myself opening up that Bible, and I'll be sitting there writing down scriptures, and then I can't write them down fast enough of what God is speaking to me. But brother and sister, I'm talking about a people that's going to overcome, that their sorrow is going to be turned into everlasting joy.
Hallelujah.
Did you know that joy is a sign of maturity, of Christ being formed in your life? Now, I'm not talking about just in demonstration, but I'm talking about you have joy right in the midst of adverse circumstances. But you know what we got to tell people today? Won't you know I'm in battle? I've been in battle all this week. You didn't have to tell us. We could tell it by looking at you. But brother, we're coming to a place that you won't know if we're in a battle or not in a battle, because we're going to have that union and brother, that relationship with God. Now, did you know that there's a vast difference between fellowship and relationship? Huh? I want you to know I'm just as much Smith as I ever will be. I was asking Brother Jay this morning, I said, how far is it over to Heavener, Oklahoma, and going back through some of these back ways? And everything he was telling me. Because, see, that's where my mother and father lives, out in Tallahassee, Oklahoma. They retired from out of Texas and moved back to Oklahoma. And I'm just as much Smith as I ever will be. And my mother and father is just as much my father as they ever will be. But, Brother Glenn, my relationship with them is always the same. But, brother, I don't have the fellowship with them as I did when I was home with my mother and father. It's the same thing today. Brother, I know people say, I know Jesus as my personal Savior, but do you know Him in relationship and fellowship? This is where God's bringing us to today, to form His life in our very being. Now, let's notice here. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Now, brother and sister, today, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. I hear somebody out there this morning in the Spirit, and they said that I don't have this kind of confidence. Brother, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 says this, cast away therefore not your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. And this is where, don't let nothing shatter your confidence in God. All right? Now, she's going to have joy. Her sorrow is over. Now, brother, you and I are in birth pains today. And we're groaning and we're travailing in these bodies of mine and yours because we're having birth pains. Because why? The Christ is being formed in mine and your life, and that we're coming to the place that our life is hid with Christ and in God. But brother, I tell you this morning that the sorrows and the pains is going to be forgotten about when the authority of God is delegated to you, and that you rule these nations with a rod of iron. He brought forth a man-child. Now you know therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Now, can I say something to us this morning? I get worried about myself because I don't worry. Is that good Oklahoma terminology or Texas? I guess I've been in Texas all my life, just about. There was a time when tribulations, death, and all of these things shook me until I couldn't get a hold of God for weeks. But, brother, I found a place in God that we can face these situations. I want you to know that we can have joy right in the midst of adverse circumstances. Come on. And then I begin to worry, Lord, have I become so hard-hearted that I don't care anymore? Brother, I want you to know there is a place of commitment in God that you've committed to God, and you know that you know that you know that He's going to take care of it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this is where He's bringing us into today. Oh, praise the Lord. Am I getting long-winded this morning? All right. Turn with me over into the book of Revelation chapter 14. And let's look at some scripture. Revelation chapter 14. And let's begin. About verse 1 would be just a good place to start. I was trying to whisper this to Glenn last day, and I never did get his attention. He was looking for this scripture. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. I heard that voice from heaven saying, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the elders, that no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Brother and sister, we're singing a song today that no other generation has ever sung before. Brother, we're crying out that we're triumphing in God, and we're making a show openly right in the midst of everything that we are encountering today. Brother and sister, we're singing that song, hallelujah, to God that's never been sung before. Why? Because we're being redeemed from this earth, hallelujah, to God, and from this earth that we're walking on today. And brother, the earth dwelling is within you and I. Why? Because God is bringing us, and we're being caught up in Him. Hallelujah. Now let's see what He says. These are they which were not defiled with women. Now, you can put this on the natural context if you want to, but I'm not dealing in that area this morning. I'm dealing with the Babylonian system. Brother Glenn said he was going to have Brother Worley to deal on the Catholic spirits tonight. Brother, these harlot systems. Brother, I want you to know, I had an offer come to me a few years back now. And so, it's like I was telling you sometimes, I'm just a little bit rotten to my wife. You know, I have to tease her a little bit. So these people came to me and they said, if you will join up with us and be our district evangelist, you will never have to leave the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex overnight. You'll never be away from your family. And when you retire, you get old enough to retire, and then you can buy you a cabin or a trailer and move on the campgrounds in Weatherford, Texas, which is 28 miles from us, and you can live there all the days of your life, and you can draw a pension. And then what we will do for you, Brother Smith, if you will join up for us and be our district man, I want you to know that we will give you a monthly salary, which we will give you a good salary, and then in all of your revivals, you get all of the offerings, and then we will give you the money every month to drive a brand new car every year, if you'll only join up with us. But brother, I have no guarantee of anything, and after all, I'm not going to retire, I'm just going to retire. Come on. I'm not going to retire. I have no plans of retiring. I'm planning on refiring. Hallelujah to God. And brother, notice what he said. Not defile with women. Not defile with systems. Brother and sister, today I am not joining up with nothing. I join hands with the Lord Jesus Christ. I am His prisoner. And hallelujah to God, I know who the jailer is today. Not defile himself with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever goeth. He goeth. These were another redemption. redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God. Now I'm talking about the one that redeemed from the earth, and then one that's been redeemed out of that group. The call out of the call out. The many called and the few are chosen. So this is where we're reaching for today, is to come into this level and to mention with God that we'll not be defiled with none of the systems of this earth. Now, I was told, do you know what a denomination is? It's the tombstone of the last revival. That is Hezekiah chapter 1, verse 1. A denomination is the tombstone of the last revival. Brother, God's not going to allow you to wall in His anointing. The Bible says in Psalm 125 that He's going to be the wall of fire around about His church. Hallelujah to God. And brother, He's going to be the wall of fire around about you and I. And brother, oh, you're going to have that anointing of God that's going to destroy every yoke. Hallelujah. And then I'm going to give us one more scripture. And we're going to, well, I'm going to read another verse here. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault and before the throne of God. Now, verse 6. And I saw another angel in the midst of heaven, having an everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, and tongue. He said, what about those angels? Well, I'm glad you asked. Revelation 21, verse 17. And he measured the wall. We are the wall. There are 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. Then you said, oh, Brother Smith, give me another one. I am glad you asked. So let's turn into Luke chapter 20. This is closing the second time. Verse 35. But they which shall be accounted worthy. What are we saying this morning? Coming into this formation of Christ, counted worthy, you can't do it on your own, but you just have to submit and obey. Counted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry or given in marriage, neither can they die anymore, for they were equal unto angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Isn't that sweet as honey? Oh, hallelujah. But now we've got the sweetness, but brother, I want you to know you're living in an hour when you're going to have to take the bitterness with it. We've had the sweetness of God, but brother, when it goes down into mind and your being, and we begin to digest it and walk it out, many times it looks like it's becoming bitter. When we begin to put it in action. And then in closing, the last time, we'll turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. And let's read this one. All right? I hear we sung this year, I believe, last night. And everybody's always talking about Romans 8:28. Well, I know I'm suffering, but it's all going to be glory. And this suffering's going to bring in glory. That's truth in the measure. But I want to show you something. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are called according to His purpose. What was the eternal purpose of God? We had it yesterday. Genesis 1:26. That God said, I make man in my likeness and in my image. If you please, we can't close right here yet now. When God Himself created all of the other beings, He found nothing to bring rest to Him, Brother Glenn. And then He created man in His own likeness and His own image. He got rested the next day. He found rest in His creation that He had created man in His likeness and image. That's what He's doing now. But now let's notice something. That eternal purpose. Now we're talking about this eternal purpose. Verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. The Bible tells you and I that he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. The Bible tells you and I, he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are one. Brother and sister, God is bringing this generation that will submit and commit to Him into total redemption unto Him. Hallelujah. This is beautiful. I gave you some truths this morning that you couldn't receive. Many of you couldn't accept. But brother and sister, I want to obey God. And I want to give you a chance to walk into it. Amen. Amen. It's for us. Brother, we're coming into total deliverance in God.
Amen.
Come on. Amen. Stand with me to your feet.
Amen.
How many of you believe this morning that I've ministered truth to you?
Amen.
Amen. I want you, with your hands raised right now as a mass prayer, that we'll come in total commitment unto God, that we'll have Christ formed in our life, that our life become hid with Christ and in God. Father, for everyone here this morning that's got their hands raised in total surrender, total commitment, Lord, that they come into this level and dimension, Lord, that their life to be hid with Christ and in God. Lord, that they come into this formation, Lord, that Christ to be the head of their life and, Lord, the ruler of their life and the ruler of their whole entire will, Lord. And, Father, we praise You and give You the honor and the glory for it this morning. Father, make it known unto them by Your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Brother Glenn. Yea, know thou this, I have even penetrated thy spirit this morning, even to quicken thine understanding, yea, that thou would behold my eternal will. And so know thou this day, that thou shalt not leave this service in the same order that thou did return, because a day of transformation and a day of going forth of my spirit has come forth within thee. Yea, yield thy members into my hands, yea, that I can conform thee and make thee in my likeness, saith thy God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com.
There are many free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home.